We'll have our scripture reading now.
Our scripture comes from the book of Esther, chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. King Xerxes imposed tribute throughout the empire to its distant shores, and all his acts of power and might, together with a full account of the greatness of Mordecai, whom the king had promoted, are they not written in the book of the annals of the king of Media and Persia? Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Xerxes, preeminent among the Jews, and held in high esteem by many fellow Jews, because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of all the Jews.
Amen. Don, I'll just have you help me move this over to the center now. Please sit down.
Thank you.
You wouldn't believe the trouble we had this morning to just try to get this thing set up to work. Four of us working on it. You know, Henry, he volunteered just to come up and hold it, but I said I'd stick with the stand. Then I noticed he has my shoes on. We're wearing the same shoes. So, you know, as we wrap up our study in Esther today, finish this final chapter. This final chapter in the book of Esther. There's a joy and there's a feeling of relief for the Jewish people. Esther, as queen, she brings a sense of stability and understanding, brings confidence. She's grown, she's matured. She's no longer that orphan, no longer that young girl, but experience in life. Mordecai is no longer that ordinary man out at the gates of the city or the palace gates. He's no longer that no-name individual. And all that he does now brings more praise, brings more blessings. All that he touches, all that he does, just continues to turn into a blessing to the king and the kingdom. And he's that well-known Jew. Mordecai is that number two man in the land. Well-known, great among the Jews. I'm sure he's talked about like we talk about some of our well-known people and that are maybe heroes or people we look up to, from sports to Hollywood to movies, those great actors. But Mordecai wasn't acting, was he? He wasn't acting at all. He was just being himself. The same man that once was on the outside of the palace, going about his daily work, is now on the inside, but yet with the recognition, the royal robe, the king's greatest horses, all the fine fixings and trimmings, Mordecai never, ever got selfish. He never gets self-centered. He never begins to think more highly of himself than what he should. Mordecai spent his life, his whole life, seeking the good, the best, peace, and joy that only the Lord could offer. And that was his intentions for Esther and her life, and it played out and showed through. It was for everyone around him. But now that he's second man in the land, it went much farther than just out on the street. His influence went throughout the kingdom. How did Mordecai go from living his life on the outside and at the gate to living inside and becoming the second man in command? Yes, it was God. Yes, it was God of the upper hand. Yes, it is God's divine plan of redemption. Redemption for his people. It was God's plan of salvation for the Jews. It was God's plan to protect his people. Protect them from the evil plan and plot of Haman. Yes, it was all those things. But yet it was also Mordecai. It was also Mordecai. Mordecai's steady belief and trust in the one and only God, the God of the universe, the God that does not change, the God that takes care of his people. Mordecai could have gave up many times throughout his life. He could have felt sorry for himself. He could have ran in fear, and he could have hid in some cave or hollow or home. He could have ran and dug and built some bomb shelter to protect himself from Haman, who was going to kill him and his family and all the Jews. But did he ever once go and hide? Did he ever go missing? Did he ever surrender and give up? He never did. He remained there on the street. He remained at the gate, even though his life was in danger. Did Mordecai call up his buddies and create a group of guys or bouncers or bodyguardsmen? Did he take the matter into his own hands? Did he grit his teeth and begin to work out and lift weights to get stronger? Did he go and try to find someone giving boxing lessons and learn how to fight? No, he didn't. He did not even go and buy a new sword. He did not even go and buy a new knife or weapon or what we do today, another gun and more ammo. He did none of that. He did none of that. But what did he do? He stayed steady and true to his commitment, increasing his communication with God by prayer and fasting, increasing his communication with his Lord by prayer and fasting. And as we begin to enter into this season of Lent, as it begins this week, what a segue, what an opportunity that we're on transitions from this into this time of prayer and fasting. What mountains are you struggling with today? What mountains or what struggles are you trying to overcome? How long have you been wrestling with that same mountain or that same struggle? How long have you been using your humanness to overcome this? Are you tired yet? Are you frustrated? Are you disappointed? Are you stressed out? Has the mountain got the best of you? Is that mountain saying you might as well stop? Is that mountain saying you're not going to come over top me? You're not going to move me? Is that what that mountain's saying to you or that struggle? How many resolutions have you made year after year and they continue to fail? How have you failed already this year? We don't like to answer some of those questions, do we? How many times do we repeat the same mistakes and find ourselves in the same doggone place? Often, isn't it? Often. So as we enter into this season of Lent, I think we need to enter and say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this season of Lent. I may not have thought much of it before. I may not have participated. I may not have done anything extra. I may not have changed anything in my daily life before, but this is a new season. It is Lent 2022, where we say, I need this season, Lord. I need this season of prayer and fasting my way to the cross and then to the grave and experiencing a new resurrection. Yesterday here at the church, five men joined for the men's conference, and Greg there in Florida joined online. This is where he was. Three speakers, powerful messages. People I'd want to call my pastors. Moments where I just want to step back and say, I just want to be fed. I need pastors like that. And then I think of myself as, I'm your pastor. And I need to feed you. And I need to instruct and encourage and lead you. And I cannot do that in and of myself, so I need the Lord. And throughout that men's conference yesterday, the Lord continued to speak to me through each and every one. And the final speaker spoke, and he talked about Joshua. Moses was soon to pass away, and Joshua was the next man up, next member up, next teammate up, next leader up. And Joshua had to get the message to man up and lead the people. Man up and lead. And I thought of Mordecai, his life and what we've been reading about him and his experience and who he was through the book of Esther. I thought about the men of the church. Let me tell you, I am human. I am human in a way that throughout the week I could have came up with a laundry list a mile long about why am I taking 4 hours out of my Saturday morning to come and set for some media, audio, online, worship, conference, service. I'm human. And I had reasons. But then, to be a part of it, and to invite Lane and Nathan to join me, and they didn't question, they didn't put up a fight, they didn't come up with any excuses for them to join me and for us to experience that together. I was blessed. I was blessed by the messages. I was blessed, Mike and Bill, Lane, Nathan. We was talking to Greg on phone through text messages about, you know, back and forth. Blessed. I would have missed that if I hadn't went. I would miss that if I was told Bill and Mike, count me out this year. I would have missed it if I would have hung to my excuses. I would have missed it. But yet, what was affirmed through it was what the Lord had already been talking to me over the past couple weeks. And the last speaker spoke of this. He did not present it in this way. That's just my take on it and how it came home to me. But he drove this point home in his presentation. And that's why I have the whiteboard here. And I'll write on the whiteboard, but I'll also say what I'll write. You know, first, you know, as I said, I thought about, you know, the men of the church. So I got men up here. Then, of course, Mordecai. And then just the church, the whole church itself, you know. Meaning all of us, we're all in this. But as the speaker spoke and how it came across to me, and I'll use it just personally, but it's for you as well to say this. I have to get better. So write that there. I have to get better. What's that mean? More Christ-like. So I write more Christ-like there. But it doesn't stop there. Then I have to be, not just get, but be better. I have to be better. That's for each of us. And what's that mean? Be living. Living. for Christ. As I write that across the whiteboard. And, you know, I say this for the people listening. You know, way back in the beginning when I tried to do some of these things, you know, I got the message, say, you got to talk us through it. We're out in the parking lot. We can't see you. So if you're wondering why I'm saying all this and repeating it, it's for everyone to get this. So we get, I have to get, I have to be, now I have to do. I have to do better. Do better. How do we do better? We work for Christ. Work for Christ. Get, be, and do. And from there, I have to be. You know, and I know we could put this on the screen, and we could just pull up, but sometimes I think this is more interactive, and everybody is a little more focused. It's not passing us by, but the next part, I have to be passionate. Passionate what? Well, for me, passionate, better leader. But passionate, better. Doesn't make quite sense, but I'm not asking any approval from the English teachers. I have to be passionate, better. Passionate, better. Passion for what? Passion for Christ. Then, finally, and this is what the Lord's been talking to me for the last couple weeks, and as I said, it just got drove home yesterday. I have to reject sin better. I have to reject sin better. That doesn't mean we reject people, but we reject the sin. What's that mean? That means we got to know the truth. Know the truth. Know God's word better. Why would that be? Because if we can't reject the sin, we can't, if we're not rejecting the sin in our lives, we're no different than anyone else in the world. If we're not doing this down here, we can't do any of these up here, can we? If we're not rejecting the sin, we can't get better, we can't be better, we can't do better, we can't be more passionate for Christ, can we? There's no way, no how. So I'm really glad the season of Lent is upon us. The time for prayer and fasting. And as I spoke with the young people or children up here today about doing your best, I pray that as a church that we'd want to do our best in everything. Everything. So that we know God's word. We can reject any sin that may come along, and we can help people that try to talk to us, that may bring their problems, bring their questions. What do you think about this? I'm struggling with this. And we avoid the soapbox, but we get right to the truth. We get right to God's word and say, that's what God says. It's not what Matt Garibrandt says. It's not what United Methodist Church says. It's what God's word says. So that we can get better, be more Christ-like, be better, living for Christ, do better, working for Christ, passionate better, passion for Christ. All these things. and is for the Lord, his kingdom. Mordecai had that time out in the streets at the gate, being the ordinary man, but yet through all that he's remained faithful. The Bible is full of all types of stories like that. Those men and women, they had a time of preparation, maturing and growing for what Mordecai 4:4 said to Esther. I mean, Esther 4:4, what Mordecai said to Esther. The Lord has prepared you and placed you in this place for a time as this. Moses went and had to be a shepherd. He was called out of the pasture to go lead the people out of Egypt. And there's story after story where, you know, people have times where God's working on them. Moms, you have moments where you're a home mom, you're a homebody, and your job is to raise those kids. One day they're going to be gone, and the Lord's going to, in that time frame, how is the Lord speaking to you and your daily devotions and your prayer and your life? Dads, you're working like crazy trying to make ends meet, but there's going to be a moment you're going to be a retire. You're still going to have some health. You're going to still have some energy. Kids will be out on their own. You'll have a couple of dollars in your pocket then, hopefully, but the kids are out making their own money. How are you going to work for the Lord then? How are you going to turn it up and be better for Jesus? Whatever your situation is. That's the message for today. Do your best, but let's get better at what we do. And as I said, that's a message right to myself as well. I want to get better. I want to be the best. John Wesley, he called it moving towards perfection, moving on to Christian perfection. Do we reach perfection in this life and in this body? No, we don't. But we have perfection through Jesus Christ because he died on that cross for us. He rose from the grave. He defeated sin and death for you, taking your bill, your penalties, my sin to the grave. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. As we enter into this church calendar season of Lent this week, it's not about tradition. Tradition just gives us some guidelines and what's been done over the years. But Lord, we get it. This is time to get into your word and get into some intimate prayer life. And if we're really aggressive, we will think about and may participate in some fasting. Oh Lord, it's all so that we be in communication with you, giving our bodies, our minds, our hearts opportunity to hear a message from you, giving you opportunity to shine some light on those areas in our life where we have to get better, we need to do better, we need to be more passionate, we need to know when to reject sin. So we need to know the truth. So Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit to continue to work upon each and every one of us. Continue to guide and direct us. Give us light to see, but give us eyes to see physically and eyes to see spiritually. Those things in our life that need to be turned around to allow you to turn the tables. Lord, I thank you for this study that we've had in the book of Esther. And I pray that your people are better now. They're closer in their walk with you, Jesus, in their faith and in their trust and their belief, and that they have this desire to be better, to keep growing, to keep learning, to be more like Christ. So Lord, I pray for your people today. I pray for this church. I pray for the ministry and the leaders and all that is yet to be done, Lord. I pray for your will to be done, but also ask and I pray, help us. Help us, Jesus, to get better and to do our best 24/7. Oh Lord, we will give you the glory and praise. now and forever. Amen. Would you stand with